If you'd like to find that in your Bible or Bible app, I'll have the New American Standard Bible on the screen, but I welcome you to find that in your translation. While you're turning there, I want to welcome all of our members and our visitors and our newlyweds. Lawson and Ashley got married Thursday, I believe it was, and so we're excited for them. We congratulate them, and we're glad to have them with us this morning. I'm excited about our topic this morning, and I hope you are as well, because you picked it. And so let's jump right into it. Several years ago, Matt and I were doing a restoration project at Athens State University. And we're working there on Founders Hall, and as we're up there several days, there's a young man that comes by to visit with us every day. And we talk about different things, mostly the project that we're working on. But one day, the conversation turned spiritual. And so we start talking about church, and he asked about church and where we go to church, and we tell him. And then I ask him, well, where do you go to church? He says, well, I don't go to church. And he continued on. He said, you know, I just don't know that the Bible answers all the questions. So I thought about it, and I asked him to continue. What question particularly do you have in mind? And I guess I wasn't ready for his answer, because he says to me, well, what about dinosaurs? And you're probably thinking like I was thinking, what about them? He says, you know, it seems pretty obvious that dinosaurs lived. Dinosaurs aren't mentioned in the Bible. How would you explain that? Well, I wasn't prepared to have that conversation that afternoon, I can tell you. But I hope after our study today, not only I, but the others who had this same question will better be able to answer this conversation. Some might say, why does this question even really matter? Well, for me personally, I've got a now four-year-old who loves dinosaurs. In fact, when he grows up, he wants to be a dinosaur. Maybe he'll grow out of that. But fast forward 16 years, what if he's this young man in college? And he comes to me one day and he says, Dad, you know, I've been talking to my professor at the university, Dr. Atheist, PhD, and he told me about dinosaurs that lived millions of years ago. You know, as an educated reader of the Bible, I just don't see how those two match up. Something's not right. And so we can see maybe this question has some significance. Now, our foundation verse is Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? As we consider this question about dinosaurs, let's understand what Satan is actually doing with this question. He's attacking the foundation of God's Word. Right there in Genesis chapter 1. If we ask, what does Genesis 1:1 say? I think all of the kids in the auditorium can say that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What if I told you the foundation for my faith and your faith is built entirely on those first five words of the Bible? In the beginning, God created. And so as we think about Satan attacking the foundation of the Bible, that's exactly what he's doing with this question he puts in people's minds about dinosaurs. In the beginning, God created? Well, no, wait a minute. What about dinosaurs? I don't think God created the dinosaurs. They're not mentioned in the Bible anywhere. So if Satan can attack the first five words of the Bible, then nobody's going to read the rest. And if we can't trust the Bible historically, because it doesn't talk about the dinosaurs, or scientifically, because how old is the earth anyway? Then who is going to have any faith in the parts talking about salvation or eternity? We're not going to look at any of that. In fact, this is a very problem that Jesus addresses in John chapter 5 and verse 46 starting. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This is the question that Jesus asked. If you don't believe what Moses wrote, you're certainly not going to believe in me. If the Bible is wrong in this area, it's not the Word of God. And we can ignore everything else that it says. And so what I want to do for the remainder of our time this morning is see how the Bible answers what we'll call some Jurassic myths. Now, this isn't a complete list by any means. In fact, some have said to me, I don't know how you're going to get an entire sermon together about dinosaurs. The truth is, I had enough material to do 2 or 3 sermons on dinosaurs. So I've only selected a portion of that for our study this morning. And we'll look at, I'll say, 4 of these myths. And we'll start with this question that the young man asked that day. Dinosaurs aren't mentioned in the Bible. If God created the dinosaurs, why aren't they there? Well, I'll start by saying that I do believe in dinosaurs. You ever been to a museum or some kind of exhibit? We went to the McWane Center in Birmingham earlier this year. They had a dinosaur exhibit. Cal loved it. I loved it too. It was fun to look at all the dinosaurs and think about all of those. There are fossils and bones that have been found that are on display. I believe that these animals lived. And so, why aren't they mentioned in the Bible? You know, maybe the question isn't fair. I could ask the question, well, if God created roly-polies and kangaroos, why aren't they mentioned in the Bible? You see, that's really not a fair question. What we have to understand is the term dinosaur didn't even begin to be used until 1841, long time after Moses wrote. So certainly that word's not going to appear in the Bible. Well, what were these animals called then? Well, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19, we understand that God brought all the animals to Adam after they were created. And there it says, whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. What were these animals called individually? Whatever Adam named them. But they also had some terms collectively, and one of those is the term dragon. In fact, if you have a King James Bible in your lap, 21 times in the Old Testament, dragons are talked about. I'll have one of those verses on the overhead in a little bit. And numerous cultures throughout the world have ancient stories about dragons. And if you read these stories about dragons, you come to understand that these are very dinosaur-like creatures. Perhaps these are the dinosaurs as we understand them. So I think we can kind of quickly dismiss this first myth that dinosaurs aren't mentioned in the Bible, because a basic word study and some Bible research, we see there are dinosaur-like creatures in the Bible. The second myth, and I'll spend a little more time on this, man did not and could not have lived at the same time as the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs lived millions of years ago and died before man came to exist. How old is the Earth? Did you know there are 63,000 searches a second on Google? 63,000 searches a second. Almost 4 million searches a minute. So what does this trusted source say about the age of the Earth? Well, this is actually a screenshot from the computer in the back there. I typed in, how old is the Earth? And you see what it says? 4.5 billion years old. Now, that's not a link you click on. That's their answer. All these people looking for information, if they go to Google and say, how old is the Earth? 4.5 billion years. Yet, we look at the Bible, we understand it not only tells us the future destiny of the universe, but it tells us history as well. And so if we go back to creation, we start there with Adam, we add all the genealogies and times together, all the way up to Christ, we get that it's at least 4,004 years from creation to Christ, and we live, what, 2,020 years or so after Christ? So the Earth is about 6,000 years old, at least, maybe a little bit older. So which is it? Did dinosaurs live with man or millions of years before? A lot of what we know about dinosaurs is based on fossils and what we find. Several years ago, in and around Glen Rose, Texas, there was a drought. And this drought caused a lot of the creeks and the streams to dry up. And in the bottom of those creeks and stream beds, what they found were footprints. Dinosaur footprints. But not only dinosaur footprints, but even also human footprints. And in one place, would you believe that the two footprints actually intersected? You have a human footprint, what certainly appears to be a dinosaur footprint, in the same place. Now, I'm not a fossil expert, but two creatures don't make a fossil in the same mud if they're 65 million years apart. And yet, this would appear that both a dinosaur and a man did live at the same time. Now, there's a lot of argument about what has been found here. In fact, some have even suggested, yes, this is a dinosaur footprint, but that is not a human footprint because humans didn't live at the same time as dinosaurs, so obviously that's an alien footprint. Well, I can't argue with that sound logic, but it certainly appears like that a human and a dinosaur lived at the same time. And for us as Christians, that's not really a surprise to us, is it? Genesis chapter 1, we understand that on day 6, God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth." That's our dinosaurs. We were created on the same day. We certainly lived at the same time together. People say, well, we couldn't have lived at the same time together. Obviously, the dinosaurs would have killed all the humans. Somebody's watched a little too many Jurassic Park movies, I guess. The dinosaurs would have eaten it. We couldn't have lived at the same time. You have to understand, dinosaurs weren't created to rule over us. We were created to rule over everything. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That's the dinosaurs too. And other verses say the same thing. The psalmist in chapter 8, starting there in verse 4, he says, "What is man that you take thought of him?" He continues this in verse 6 when he says, "You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and all beasts of the field." That's the dinosaurs. Or what about what James said? We all know James 3 and verse 8 says, "But no man can tame the tongue." Look how James sets that conversation up. He starts there in verse 7 by saying, "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race." You know, James just says in a real matter-of-fact way, you know, we all understand we can tame the animals, but we can't control the tongue. Well, James, do we all understand that we can tame the animals? You know, you look around the world today, the elephant's the largest animal still in existence today. Humans don't have any problems with elephants, do they? They've trained elephants for centuries to work, to play, even to charge into battle on top of elephants. We don't have any problems with elephants. Somebody might say, well, an elephant's big, but that's not really a ferocious animal. Well, how about, say, a lion? I don't know if the circus still travels anymore. Used to, you could go to the circus and you could see the trainer work with the lion. Here pictured on the screen is a man about to kiss a lion. Not saying I would do it, just saying that it can be done, though. What about animals that don't live on land? Anybody been to SeaWorld? Seen what they do with the orcas, with the killer whales? You know, trainers work with them. I'd blow a whistle or whatever it is they do, and the killer whale would jump through a hoop or hit a ball or hear somebody riding on the back of one. Can man train a killer whale? I mean, that's obviously one of the ocean's fiercest predators. We can do that, can't we? The biggest animal still on the planet is the blue whale. This isn't a great picture, but I picked this picture because there's a diver off to the left side you can kind of make out there. And so this thing is 90 foot long and weighs 400,000 pounds. And several years ago, they had to put a law in place because humans were killing the whales. This thing isn't hunting us. We're hunting it. It's endangered because of us. If we don't do something, it's going to become extinct. And so if man can tame elephants and lions and killer whales, you know, why would dinosaurs be any different? There's a lot of different artifacts, carvings, figurines, cave paintings that I could put pictures of up on the screen. I thought this was interesting. This is one of the ancient Ica stones of Peru, which looks to depict a man riding a dinosaur. Do you think that man had problem taming the dinosaur, using the dinosaurs? You know, as we consider myth number 2, man did not and could not have lived at the same time as dinosaurs. You know, I would say that science and history and a little bit of common sense and the Bible all seem to agree that man not only could, but did live at the same time as dinosaurs. What about our third myth? You know, people who want to attack the Bible when talking about dinosaurs, they go to Job. There's two animals that are mentioned there in Job, and they go after those two animals. In fact, in a book titled The Genesis Question, the author ridicules the descriptions of two of these animals and supposes that these animals could not have existed. We're all familiar with the book of Job. We know what terrible things happened to Job there in the first couple of chapters. And starting in chapter 3, Job starts complaining and having a lot of questions. And says, you know, if I could just get an audience with God, I would talk to him. Well, at the end of the book, he gets that audience with God. And God's making a point to him, and he said, you know, you've wanted to stand before me. Let me tell you something, though. I've created a couple of animals. You can't even stand before them, much less stand before me. And so he's describing these animals here. One of them is in Job 40 and verse 15. He says, behold now, behemoth, which I made as well as you, he eats grass like an ox. We find out more in verse 17. He bends his tail like a cedar. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. He is the first in the ways of God. Whatever this, you know, giant grass eater is, it's big. Sounds kind of like a brontosaurus to me, with a big tail. And yet people look at this and go, no animal could have bones of bronze. That's not possible. Chapter 41, the entire chapter is about one animal. And God's explaining to him about this one animal. He says, can you draw a leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with the cord? Whatever this sea creature was, God's making the impression on Job. You can't stand before it. In fact, he says in verse 8, lay your hand on him, remember the battle, you will not do it again. You want to stand before me? You can't stand before this animal. You think you can? Go touch it. You won't forget it. What was this creature? I don't know. Verse 21, his breath kindles coals, a flame goes forth from his mouth. And people look at that and say, that's not possible. No animal could blow fire. Job obviously knew what he was talking about, didn't he? You know, God's trying to make a point to Job, and Job's been waiting 35 chapters to talk to God. If God brings this up and they're not real, what's Job going to say? God, I don't know what you're talking about. Those animals don't do what you say they do. You don't know what you're talking about. Job doesn't say that, does he? In fact, if we get into the next chapter, chapter 42 and verse 6, and Job says, I retract. God, I have had all these questions I said I was going to ask. I take it all back. I repent. I'm sorry. You're exactly right. Whatever these two animals were, they were real, and it made an impact on Job. But to further defend the scriptures, if you will, let's consider a couple of other animals still in existence today. I wonder how many of us as kids went out and caught lightning bugs. I remember doing this in elementary school. Get one of those dark summer nights, you get out in the backyard, collect them and put them in a mason jar. Anybody else do that? Sit there and watch them light up. Here's an insect, and with his tail, he can produce light. Or what about an electric eel? Understand they can produce 600 volts of electricity, enough to take down a horse, not even hurt themselves. Or what about the bombardier beetle? When it's threatened, it releases this lethal fluid at a temperature near the boiling point of water. So here we have animals that can produce light and heat and electricity. Is it really such a stretch to imagine there might have been an animal that could have released some fumes that would have ignited? I don't think so. And there are Christians who would say, you know, I don't know that those are real. We might ask the same question that the Lord asked of Abraham. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Certainly these animals existed. So as we consider myth number 3, the creatures described in Job weren't real animals. I think we've shown from the Bible that, yes, they were real animals, but I would ask, how could anyone possibly know all the details of an extinct animal? Have you seen them? I haven't. And yet some people would argue that. Which brings us to our final myth that we'll discuss this morning. Dinosaurs became extinct when an asteroid hit the Earth. I'll quote Google again. The most popular disaster theory for the extinction of the dinosaurs is that the Earth was hit by an asteroid or a comet 65 million years ago. You know what we ought to think of when we see all those dinosaur bones? That death was not part of God's original creation. In fact, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. 1 Corinthians 15:21 starts off this way, by a man came death. You know, I could have mentioned this earlier. How do we know the dinosaurs didn't die before man came on the scene? Because death itself is the result of man's actions. They couldn't have died. They could not have died. But anytime I see those dinosaur bones, what I ought to be reminded of is death was not part of God's original creation. Death is a result of our actions. Some would say, well, it wasn't an asteroid, it was a flood that killed all the dinosaurs. No, I don't think it was that either. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 19, God says, and of every living thing of all flesh, keep them alive with you. Everything that's alive, Noah put it on the ark. It wasn't that Noah said, I'll get the zebras, the cats, the dogs, the giraffes, but I'm not taking the velociraptors. They're staying here. We understand that Noah did all that God had commanded him, which also implies he didn't forget. Day 8, the floodwaters are rising. Noah looks to Mrs. Noah. I forgot to put the T-Rexes on the ark. He didn't have one of those moments. He fully obeyed. So what happened to these animals? Well, we have to understand that after the flood, things changed. In fact, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2, God says there to Noah, the fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and then on every bird of the sky and with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. And into your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Did you notice verses 29 and 30 in the Bible reading this morning? So God's talking to man and he says, I'm giving you all the plants to eat. And then he says, I'm giving the animals all the plants to eat. You know, if you just take that at face value, up until the flood, everything was vegetarian. Man's not eating the animals. The animals aren't eating each other. Everything's eating plants. And yet, after the flood, the world's a lot harsher place, isn't it? And God tells Noah, you know what? From now on, the animals are going to be afraid of you. And you can eat the animals. Probably because we're waiting on all the vegetation to grow back. It's been destroyed by a flood. And so now the animals are reacting differently, aren't they? After the flood, the world was a harsher place, even for man. Look at the life expectancies in the Bible. People didn't live as long after the flood. Things changed, didn't they? People say, well, the dinosaurs became extinct. Well, so did other animals. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 6, they're talking about the beast of the Negev there, and one that's mentioned is the viper and the flying serpent. Anybody see a flying snake on the way to church this morning? Thankfully, I didn't. Stuart, I know you hate snakes. You wouldn't want to come across a flying snake. Whatever that was, I'm glad that's extinct. And that's not the only animal that's extinct. You know, if you've got a King James Bible, you may want to check this verse in your translation here. Job chapter 39 and verse 9. Now, I have the New American Standard on the screen, and it says, will the wild ox consent to serve you? If you have a New American Standard and it has footnotes, it may say, wild ox dash antelope. Anybody seen a wild ox that looks like an antelope? I haven't. Now, if you've got that King James Bible, you're looking at a completely different word right now, aren't you? That word is unicorn. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee? Canst thou bind the unicorn? What is this animal he's talking about? I don't know. It's probably not the fairy tale bedtime story animal that we think of when we're thinking of unicorns, but let's make this point. Whatever it was real. And it lived, and it died. Isaiah 34, verse 7, talks about, and the unicorn shall come down. He's describing the death of the unicorns, whatever that was. This animal lived, this animal died. It wasn't the only one. We talked about Leviathan, that giant sea snake that could breathe fire. Isaiah 27, verse 1, in that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. This animal lived, whatever it was. Job saw it. It lived. and it died. And when it died, it became food for other animals. The psalmist says in chapter 74 and verse 14, you crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. It's the Lion King. It's the circle of life, isn't it? Whatever this animal was, it lived, it died, other animals ate it, it became extinct. So we think about dinosaurs became extinct when an asteroid hit the earth. No, I think from looking at the Bible, we understand that post-flood changes and lack of food and competition in the animal kingdom, and certainly man's activities, all contributed to the extinction of a lot of different kind of animals. Now, as I said, we could continue this study and we could talk about a lot of other different things. The point I'm making this morning is this. What you believe about the book of Genesis will ultimately determine how you react to the rest of the Bible. A passage that we all know, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? That the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped. This morning, I don't want your kids or your grandkids or my kids to remember that we talked about dinosaurs. What I hope they will remember is that when an honest and sincere heart has a genuine question and you go to the Bible, God has given sufficient answers. That's what every one of us can take away this morning. Now, if evolution is true, you're an accident. You're an accident. There's no purpose to this life, and you have no one you have to answer to whatsoever. However, if the Bible is true, you're a unique, special creation of God, made in His image. You have a purpose, you have an eternal destiny, and we will have to answer to God because He made us. Perhaps that's why Solomon said, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. I appreciate your attention this morning. For those using a songbook, you might want to take that out. We'll be singing in just a moment. If you believe the first five words of the Bible, you will live in a way that shows honor and recognition to that. You will serve God and do everything you can to please Him, and you will become a child of His. If you haven't done that this morning, why not do that right now? If we can help you with that or anything else, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.